with our welcome address. You know, it's wonderful to see all of you here for the 2016 Bible Students General Convention. You know, looking around, I see we have lots of different categories of brethren here today. Some of you have been in the truth for many years and are living a life of complete dedication to the Lord. On the other extreme, some of you are brand new and are excited about learning more about God's wonderful plan for the whole world. And the rest of you are somewhere in the middle. Perhaps some of you are here not because it's what you really want to do, but because you know deep down it's what you should be doing. Well, that reminds me of a man who was running late for a very important business meeting. He was driving around desperately looking for a parking place, but could not find one, no matter how hard he tried. Finally, he looked up and said, "Lord, if you provide me a parking place, I promise to go to church every Sunday from now on." As the last words left his lips, a parking place opened up right in front of him. He then looked up and said, "Never mind, I found one." And brethren, I'm happy to know the Lord helped you all find your way to this year's General Convention. Now, if you've been to prior General Conventions, you know the first service is called the Welcome Address. Last year, one of the first things the elder did who gave that service was to welcome everyone who was there. And the year before that, one of the first things the elder did was to welcome everyone who was there. In fact, during every welcome address I've ever heard, welcoming everyone who was there was one of the first things the elder did. Brethren, that tradition stops today. Let's face it. Things today are different than they were 20 and 30 years ago. We hardly have time to get things done. And with the advent of email, cell phones, and text messages, we're constantly interrupted throughout each day. So, since time is a very precious commodity for us today, should we just welcome everybody the way Jesus would do? Or should we be a bit more particular about who we welcome, knowing that we will be required to spend our valuable time interacting with them? Well, I propose we look at the various categories of brethren that attend this General Convention and vote on each of them. Those that get a majority are welcome. The ones that don't, sorry, we just don't have time for you. Now, I know what you're thinking, and I agree. The first group that comes to mind is very obvious. It's the one we often have the most difficulty with. They're opinionated, stubborn, and take up a lot of our valuable time. That's right, old people. Oh, I can see everyone here was thinking the same thing. I mean, let's face it. If you get in line behind them, they slow you down. They can't remember what happened yesterday, but they can tell you in great detail everything that happened 30 years ago. And the thing that's most irritating is when they say something like, "I remember when you were only this big, and I used to call you my little monkey." Now, don't worry. I know the question you're asking yourself. How do we determine if someone is old? Is it simply based on age? Like, If you're in your mid-80s and above, well, I've come up with a test to answer this question. Now, you're probably familiar with the 5-second rule between lightning and thunder. As soon as you see lightning, start counting. Every 5 seconds before you hear thunder is 1 mile. So, for old people, as soon as they start to stand up, start counting. If it takes at least 5 seconds, they're old. I see some 50-year-olds out there who look a bit worried. Bible Student General Convention, this is Peter. Mom? Is everything all right? Good. I'm a little busy right... Oh, you and Dad are watching the convention on the Internet. Great. What? Do I know you and Dad are in your mid-80s? Well, yes, of course. Do I know you and Dad sacrificed over the years to help raise my brother and me? Yes. And yes, I do know you and Dad did your best to give me love, knowledge, and support. Right. So I could eventually be a mature, well-adjusted, and responsible adult. And yes, I know the Bible stresses the importance of respecting our parents and the elderly. Do I think they still have a great deal of wisdom to impart to the younger ones? And that they are typically more than willing to share their time with us. Okay, Mom, you're right. I should consider it a blessing to be around the elderly. Oh, what's that, Dad? They don't like to be called old. Okay, how about chronologically challenged? No, you don't like that. Well, what do you recommend? Oh, mature. Okay. Thanks, Mom and Dad. We'll talk to you later. I don't want to say that in front of everyone. Mom. Okay. I'm your little monkey. Love you too. Bye-bye. Love for my parents. Brethren, I apologize for the delay, but it did teach me a valuable lesson. These brethren really do have a lot they can teach us. And they are willing to share their time, their wisdom, and their love. And even if we don't have a lot of time to spare, we should consider the time we can spend with them to be very valuable. Because after that, all we have are just memories. So with that said, let's take a vote. All those in favor of welcoming old, mature brethren, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Great. Mature brethren are officially welcome. Now, that brings us to our next group. And for this group, I think we all know the issues that are involved in having to deal with them. That's right. We're talking about toddlers. Toddlers. However, in Mark 9:37, Jesus held a small child in his arms and said, "Whoever receives a child like this in my name receives me." And if we're ever tempted to get upset when little children get fidgety and make noise, we should remember what happened when the disciples were upset because little children were being brought to Jesus. In Matthew 19, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? However, we all know what happens to parents of toddlers. Have you ever seen a zombie movie? That's right. These poor parents wander around aimlessly, stressed out from lack of sleep, mumbling to themselves the same phrase over and over. Come back here. Come back here. Now, don't think I'm not sensitive to the needs of toddlers. We even child-proofed our home. But somehow they still get in. Anyway, toddlers convert their parents from being contributing members of our conventions to blurry-eyed servants with drool-stained shirts. And forget about having any free time to help others. For example, we used to have a brother who was a valuable and dependable member of the Special Services Committee. But recently he said he could no longer be on the committee because, that's right, he and his wife were going to have a baby. Well, thanks a lot. Out of curiosity, is it going to be a boy or a girl? A boy? And what are you going to name him? Peter? You're naming him Peter? Oh, my. Well, you know children are our future. And since it takes a village to raise a child, you just let me or any member of Special Services know if you or Peter needs anything. Well, brethren, knowing how important children are, and knowing the process of raising children really helps to prepare us for dealing with the world of mankind in the kingdom. After all, we learn love, sacrifice, patience, and mercy. I think we can now vote. All those in favor of welcoming toddlers, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Great. Toddlers are officially welcome. Now let's look at the third group. I'll give you a hint as to who they are. We typically use the word rebellious to describe them. That's right. Our third group is teenagers. You know, they say raising teenagers is like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall. Of course, we all go through our own rebellious teenage years. And somehow, our parents don't completely disown us. You know, even King David knew how bad everyone's teenage years can be when he wrote in Psalm 25:7, O Lord, do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. Instead, according to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. You know, frankly, being a teenager can be very difficult. That's when we typically become more insecure and desperately seek the approval of others. For them, trying to talk to adults is almost impossible. So you adults need to make it a point to be the one to just say something simple to teens you meet for the first time. Just hold out your hand and say something like, Hi, I'm Brother So-and-so. It's really nice to meet you. Now, hopefully, the teenager will shake your hand and at least say hi. But don't be offended if they are so insecure they put up a protective wall to end the conversation quickly. And when I say protective wall, what I really mean is they lift up their cell phone and start texting. But don't be upset, because at least they'll remember that you were nice to them, and that will make it easier the next time. You know, frankly, I feel sorry for teenagers, because when they find someone in their own age group that they are attracted to, well, they get so nervous and tongue-tied that they can't even start a decent conversation with that person. So I'm going to help you teenagers out right now by giving you four opening lines that you can use here at the General Convention when you want to meet someone you're interested in. Here goes. Number one. Pardon me, but Is it a sin that you stole my heart? Number two. Did it hurt when you fell from heaven? Number three. If I could rearrange the letters of the alphabet, I'd put you and I together. Yeah, yeah. And finally, number four, which is just for the fellows. Excuse me, but I believe one of your ribs belongs to me. You're welcome. Okay, brethren, it's time to vote. All those in favor of welcoming teenagers, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Great. Teenagers are welcome here at the 2016 General Convention. Now, for our next group, we're not going to focus on age. Instead, we're going to focus on location. There are two ways to attend the General Convention. You can either be here in person, or you can attend via the internet. Frankly, it's gotten a bit too easy to not put in the effort nor make the sacrifice necessary to attend in person. Do we really want to welcome those brethren who just stay home and attend via the internet? Hi, Mom. Yes, I do realize that you and Dad are no longer able to travel to conventions, and that you're both very blessed by being able to attend via the internet. No, ma'am. I would never want to take that blessing away from you. Okay. Love you, too. Bye-bye. All those in favor of welcoming our brethren who attend this year via the internet, please raise your hand. And Mom said there will not be any opposed. So it looks like we can officially welcome our brethren on the internet. For our next group, many of you probably assumed it would have been the first and most obvious group we would have voted on. Who are they? Brethren you disagree with. Do I want to welcome brethren I disagree with? Do you want to welcome brethren you disagree with? Let's face it. Wouldn't our Sunday meetings, weeknight studies, and business meetings be a lot more enjoyable if everyone agreed on everything? For example, here are some of the most common things brethren disagree on. Has the 1,000 years begun? Has restitution begun? Has Satan been bound? Should sisters wear head coverings? Is it okay to disagree with Brother Russell? Is divorce allowed among the brethren? Have the sleeping saints been raised? Will Judas be resurrected? Who will be the next president of the United States? Is it wise to get married, have kids, or go to college? By the way, I know a brother and sister who, several years ago, wanted to get married, but many brethren told them that was a mistake. After all, the kingdom was right around the corner. But they got married anyway. The brother decided to go to college. Many of the brethren said not to do that. After all, the kingdom was right around the corner. Then they talked about having children, and many brethren said, don't do that. The kingdom was right around the corner. Well, I'm happy to say they did have children. That's because I'm talking about my parents, brother and sister Boone and Jean Mora. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Thanks. So why would many knowledgeable and experienced brethren tell my parents not to do these things? Simple. They thought they understood something, but they were very mistaken. Does that mean the brethren who gave my parents bad advice did not make their calling and election sure? Of course not. Did my parents stop meeting with those brethren? Of course not. Just because we disagree with someone doesn't mean they are not our brethren. In fact, how important is knowledge when it comes to receiving the crown of life? Do the scriptures say, "Be thou knowledgeable unto death, and then you shall receive the crown of life"? Blessed are the smart, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the intellectuals, for they shall be called sons of God. No. It's, be thou faithful. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. So why do the brethren disagree? Simple. Number one, because we do not have all the information. In fact, we will not have a full understanding until after we are resurrected. How do we know this? Because Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 13:12. For we see through a dim window obscured, but then face to face. Now I gain knowledge in part, but then shall I fully know. And reason number two. As we gain knowledge and experience, we start forming our own opinions. And sometimes we mistakenly turn our opinions into doctrines. Now, Apostle Paul gave his opinion when he said in 1 Corinthians 7:25, I have not received this as a command of the Lord, but I give an opinion. See, Paul was wise enough to know the difference between an opinion and a thus saith the Lord. So obviously it is okay to have an opinion, but when does it get us into trouble? When pride and ego take over, that changes disagreements into arguments, and arguments into fights, and fights into persecution, and sometimes persecution into murder. So, does the Lord want the brethren to have experiences where they sometimes disagree with one another and sometimes with those in the world? Let's answer that question with a quote from the July 4th manna. It comes from reprint number 2415 and says, the call of the church in the present time is to let the light shine and thus attract persecution, and to endure the persecution for righteousness' sake, and to be rightly exercised by it in patience, brotherly kindness, pity and love toward the persecutors and toward all men. Let all such give attention to this service which we have received, and faint not, be not discouraged, whether men hear or whether they forbear, whether they think ill of us or whether they speak ill of us. Let us remember that our report at the end of the trial is to be rendered to the Lord himself, when he is making up his jewels. After all, what are the three possibilities that can happen when two people disagree? Either we are right and the other person is wrong, or we are wrong and the other person is right, or we are both wrong. When we are wrong, and we know it, that teaches us humility. When we are right, then eventually we learn that all knowledge we have does come from the Lord, and that He only opens the eyes of who He wants to see. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Well, therefore, knowing it's only by the Lord's grace that we are able to see some things more clearly than others, that too should teach us humility. Now, does this mean it's okay to disagree about everything? No. We have some very core doctrines that are absolutely crucial to believe, and we all agree on them. Since those doctrines are going to be covered throughout this convention, for this service, let's only list the top five. God is the Father and Creator of all. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was sent by the Father to redeem the human race by His death on the cross. God is selecting a bride for His Son. And the reign of Christ will bless all the families of the earth by bringing them into harmony with the Father. Now, I personally know of an ecclesia who used to only invite brethren who agreed with them on the doctrine that the thousand-year kingdom had not yet begun. But then one day, while preparing for their upcoming convention, one of the elders insisted they invite some very conservative speakers in the Bible student movement who believe the thousand years has already begun. Well, the other elders thought he had lost his mind. After all, he didn't believe the kingdom had already started, so why do this? He said the reason was because that's what the Bible teaches us to do. Promote unity, not division. Well, the ecclesia did agree to change their convention format. And the end result was they had a larger attendance, greater fellowship, the word spread to other brethren, and to this day, their conventions are greatly filled with many blessings. Now, I'm not going to tell you the name of the ecclesia. They might find that embarrassing, so don't even ask. Okay, since you're so insistent, I will at least give you their initials. L.A. Okay, so now we need to vote. All those in favor of welcoming brethren who have various understandings of the Scriptures, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Great. For our next group, let's just say they make us feel stupid. Not because they do anything to us, just because of who they are. Yes, even though receiving the crown of life is not based on being smart, the group we need to vote on next is smart people. Now, I don't mean people of above average intelligence. I'm talking about really smart people. For an example of what I mean, here's a true story about a brother who was invited to fly up to Canada and speak at a convention. Since he had never crossed the border into Canada before, he was advised to keep his comments very brief when questioned by the border security officer. Here is the approximate transcript of his conversation with the Canadian border officer. Welcome to Canada. Where are you going? Winnipeg. What is the purpose of your visit? Convention. What kind of convention? Bible. And what will you be doing at this Bible convention? Speaking. Oh, really? And just what will you be speaking on? the antitypical significance of Joshua and Zerubbabel in the post-Babylonian captivity period as related to the Melchizedek priesthood. Next. Now, I'm not going to tell you the name of the brother. He might find that embarrassing, so don't even ask. Okay, since you're so insistent, I will at least give you his initials. O.B. Okay, it's probably wrong to pick on smart people. After all, when someone is truly smart, they typically are very humble and very helpful to others. So, brethren, all those in favor of welcoming smart people, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Brother O.B., put your hand down. Great. Smart people are officially welcome here at the General Convention. Now, for our next group, these are brethren who will definitely take up a lot of our time. They ask a lot of questions. They constantly want to talk about the Scriptures. And it seems no matter how much information you give them, they are always hungry for more. That's right. We are talking about brethren who are brand new to the truth. However, perhaps we should not complain about their questions and insatiable appetite for the truth. After all, don't we get excited when we see and feel their excitement? And if you ever want to see a class go from being boring to exciting, just add a few new people and see what happens. So with that in mind, perhaps we should not only welcome new people, but we should make it a point to spend some time with them. After all, how many of us could use a shot of zeal in our lives? So, all those in favor of welcoming new people, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Great. New people are welcome here at the General Convention. For our last group, well, all I can say is, it's about time we voted on this one. This category of brethren are the worst of all, because not only are they everywhere, but they set a bad example for the rest of us. Yes, we are talking about people who commit sin. Sinners. Don't we just hate being around them? And do we really want them here at our convention? Wait, you look a little puzzled. Oh, you're thinking that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, as it says in Romans 3:23. And that Ecclesiastes 7:20 says there's no one on earth who is righteous. And that 1 John 1:8 says if we claim to be without sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Yeah, but I'm not talking about the little sins that we make every day. I'm talking about the bigger sins. You know, the ones that Jesus did not die for. Oh, okay. Maybe he did die for all sin, but surely the Lord is looking forward to pouring out his wrath. After all, why else would he allow all of his human creation to be so disobedient? Well, Romans 11:32 does tell us, for God has bound everyone over to disobedience, so that he may have mercy on them all. Well, I guess we do know all sin, no matter how small, is not acceptable to the Lord. But by his love and mercy, all will be given time to come into harmony with him and with his Son. Okay, perhaps we can now vote whether or not to allow sinners to be welcome. However, should we only allow those who are perfect to vote? Can those who are perfect without sin raise your hand so I can get a count of who's going to be voting? all right, let's change our requirements. All of those imperfect brethren out there who want to welcome sinners the way Jesus also welcomed them, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Okay. It looks like even those who are struggling against sin are welcome here at the General Convention. Well, brethren, we've voted on a few different categories of brethren, and so far we've welcomed all of them. Even though there are many more categories, perhaps it would be best at this time to just vote to welcome all who are attending the 2016 General Convention, both in person and via the Internet. Would that be okay? Good. In that case, all those in favor of welcoming everyone who is attending this convention, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Outstanding. Well, brethren, during the last few weeks, we've watched tragic examples of terrorism throughout the world. And we know there is a lot more to come. Although we are bothered by the suffering and death, we are not surprised by these events because we do understand what it says on the front of our convention program. It quotes the first part of Haggai 2:7, which says, "I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come." These events are allowed as part of God's plan. But just like every tragedy that occurs, there is always the final and wonderful result that eventually comes, both bringing the world into peace and harmony and fulfilling the final part of Haggai 2:7, which coincidentally is explained by the title of our convention theme hymn, which is found on the back of our convention program. The title says it all: "To God be the glory." The end result of all these events will ultimately bring glory to the Lord, and we do look forward to that day. Brethren, we are so thankful for the opportunity to gather together during this week, and we thank all those who are serving. We pray that all may receive a blessing and be a blessing, and may the Lord add his blessing.